Psalms in my Bible, not very long. When I use the term narrative, it's a true account, but sometimes these passages are easier when you're reading your Bible because they're in story form. I do struggle using that word because it is not a make-believe story. This is a true account of history written in a narrative form that tells the history in story form. Well, let me catch you up to speed where we're at in Exodus. Israel has been captive in Egypt for 400 years. They had sojourned. They have been in Egypt for 430 years. That is a super long time. In 2026, we will celebrate the 250th anniversary of this nation, and Israel had been there another 180 years. And so this became home, even in its slave conditions. And they cried out to God, to be clear. But for 430 years, they were in Egypt. 400 of it were in bondage and affliction to the various pharaohs and kings of Egypt. And Egypt was the world power, the dominating world power for centuries. And they're about to go out of power. And you can see the concerns of the Pharaoh. Well, Pharaoh tried different things to eliminate the power of Israel, destroying the males, drowning the boys, and none of that helped. They grew numerically because God was with them. Well, God heard their cry, raised up a young baby named Moses. And Moses was daughter of Pharaoh's daughter, a son of Pharaoh's daughter, and was raised early on until he was weaned by his real mother, Jochebed. Well, he was then raised in the Egyptian palace, 40 years. He kills an Egyptian that was abusing an Israelite, and shouldn't have done that. Was sin and was wrong. And then he hid the body, thought he got away with it. When he realized everybody knew, he fled Egypt. And Pharaoh was upset. So he goes to a place called Midian, many, many hundreds of miles away. And he meets this family, gets married, spends 40 years as a shepherd. Shepherd in the back hills of the desert. And then he is in the desert and he sees a burning bush that's not consumed. Not that he hadn't seen a burning bush before, but it wasn't consumed. And God met Moses there. He said, "Moses, take off your shoes, because the land and ground that you're on is holy ground." And God appeared unto Moses and said, "I've heard the cry of Israel." Moses is like, "That's so good." Until God said, "And I'm going to use you." And then Moses went on for about a chapter and a half with all the excuses, and God addressed all of his excuses. What an amazing God. The only time God got angry when Moses refused and said, "Send somebody else." And then when Moses refused to obey God with the circumcision of his son. Well, he sends Aaron. Aaron and Moses meet in the wilderness. They embrace. It had been 40 years since they'd seen. Aaron's 3 years older than Moses. And these brothers meet. And Moses tells Aaron everything that God did. Remember, God gave Moses three signs. Gave him the rod that would turn into a snake. He could put his hand in his bosom and bring it out, and it would turn to leprosy. Return it, and it would be as normal flesh. And then he could strike the water, and he could have the water turn to blood, and he was going to use that to convince first the Israelites that God had sent him. Remember, he said, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And God said, "I am. I am that I am. Tell them I am hath sent you." So now here we are. Exodus chapter 5, and Moses and Aaron, verse 1. "And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they," Moses and Aaron, "said, 'The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, Behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, You shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore, as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale, or the quota, of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. No break with the quota. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there be more work laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Verse 10. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, Fulfill your works, your daily task, or your daily quota, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmaster set over them, were beaten and demanded, Wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today and heretofore and before? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, Make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people. But he, Pharaoh, said, You are idle. You are idle. Therefore you say, Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall you deliver the tale or the quota of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. After it was said, You shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And then the officers, that's the they in verse 20, and they met Moses and Aaron who stood in the way, as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the officers said unto Moses and Aaron, The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor. You've made our taste. It's a sour taste now in the mouth of Pharaoh, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Simple title, Moses and Aaron Go Before Pharaoh. It's a typical. I love it when I see people, they say, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We were talking, Stephen and I and the guys in our car as we were coming back. My goal, my desire is to share the gospel with people that are lost. But there are so many people that claim to be Christians out there that if I can light their fire, get them excited about the Lord and like, wake up! I want to do that. But when people, and maybe you've determined and said, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to honor the Lord, and that is good. I will tell you, Exodus chapter 5 is a good thing. You know what? The devil also is aware, and his interest is piqued, and he's going to try to make things super difficult on you and make things miserable for you. But I do want you to know this. God's in charge. If the devil's allowed to mess with you and take away your straw, like he did in Exodus chapter 5, then we must trust in the Lord that you know what was best for the Israelites? No straw. You think that would have gone over well? Back, 3,500 years ago, wouldn't have gone over well. I'm not going to say that to you when you go through difficulty. I'm not going to say, this is the best thing ever happened to you. But I wonder if we could trust the Lord that much. If God takes away something that was critical, God takes away something, God doesn't do what we think He should do, will we still honor Him, or will we murmur? Will we complain? Let's learn from these folks tonight. I want you to understand, if you are determined, and I think we should be determined, and we can only be determined by the grace of God, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We can only have success through the Lord. But I will tell you, there is this thing called discipleship, discipline. There is this thing that when Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We should have a determination by God's grace and by God's help that we will serve the Lord. And when Joshua said that, he meant no matter what. We are in a fickle nation. We are a fickle people. Baptists are fickle. Fickle. You know what I mean by fickle? It rhymes with pickle, but has nothing to do with it. Fickle, it's just like, oh, I love my church. Next week, I hate my church. You know, I mean, it's sort of like this. I mean, I probably shouldn't, you know, I love you. 2 weeks later, I hate your guts. You know, we're just up and down and up and down, and that was the Israelites. Well, let's just walk through this chapter and just see what we can learn from it. The boldness of Moses and Aaron just jumps out at me. Look at verse 1. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. You must understand, there were no limits to Pharaoh. They viewed Pharaoh as a god. There's an inscription in one of the ancient Egyptian temples, and they've translated it, and here's what it said about the pharaohs. One of the pharaohs had this inscribed, this is blasphemy. It sounds like the encounter Moses had in Exodus 3. This is a pharaoh writing about it. I am that which was and is and shall be, and no man has lifted my veil. And the Egyptians accepted that the pharaohs were gods. The pharaoh could have pronounced, kill them! And they would have been killed instantly. You must appreciate, and as hard as I am on Moses for his excuses, when he finally realized this is really what God wants me to do, you've got to understand now, you're going to start appreciating Moses. Why he is one of the men that Jesus talked about, that the Bible talks about, that was a man that followed and loved God. We get to see his flaws because there's no man that's not flawed. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, for all have sinned, including Moses. But Moses, when he finally understood, this is what God wants me to do, he did it. Not that Moses didn't fail more after this. But the determination was unique. I want to show you in Exodus chapter 7 what God reveals. It's so interesting. Their boldness was before God revealed this. Look at Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god, small g, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. You must understand, God had Pharaoh, who the Egyptians were very superstitious, and he made Moses to be like unto a god, and Pharaoh did not want to mess with him, but you see the boldness. He didn't tell Moses until after, you see, this week and next week. And Moses was very bold, and I'll tell you this, we must, you know, with all the things that have been going on in our world, we need boldness for Christ. Thus saith the Lord. Nothing will touch us unless God says it can. And if God says it can, it's going to happen even if I don't like it. We can trust Him. We need boldness. We need kindness. Moses was the most meek man of all the earth. But you see the boldness? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Not in meanness, not in attitude, but boldness to say, I'm here to tell you what the Lord says, not what I have to say. It is super fascinating. You know, I just do a study. I won't go through this tonight. It's all in my notes, but I'm not going to cover it tonight. I can never exactly count because sometimes I'm just talking about it. But it looks like at least seven times that Moses stands before Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Let my people go. Now let's look at Pharaoh's response. Pharaoh's response, look at this in verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now there is some sadness here. And you got to understand, the Israelites had been in Egypt, I just told you, 430 years. And I know, we saw in Exodus chapter 1 that a king rose up that knew not Joseph. But if you're going to have a nation that is to be the nation through whom the Messiah is to be brought, that nation should be a light and salt to everyone that they're around. We talked about that a little bit on Sunday morning. They should be a blessing. They should be a help. We should be an aid to help people understand truth. And it looks like because of their affliction, their bondage, their struggle, you know what happens many times? We shut up. Who is the Lord? I wish Pharaoh would have said, I know who the Lord is. I know who your God is. And I absolutely reject Him. Now, the Bible says this in verse 2. He said, I know not the Lord. We can't cause anybody to follow the Lord, but can we proclaim the Lord so that they would know at least who the God of the Bible is? And I know, it just jumps out at me that I want to be somebody that when people, they won't say, who is God? You might disagree with me. Who is the Lord? Second thing, look at this. Let's look at verse 3, 4. I'll tell you this. We had some good discussion last week. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest He fall upon us with pestilence and with sword. Never does say that they'll come back. 3 days' journey is a long way. You'll see later, they only mentioned the 3 days' journey one other time. That's in Exodus chapter 8. I don't think this was, you know, and I don't think anybody we were talking to was suggesting this either, but there's some challenge that says, you know, that the world could look at this and say, oh, Moses was being dishonest. Because we all know the rest of the story. Did they go a 3 days' journey and come back? Well, he doesn't say we're coming back. We're going to go a 3 days' journey, we're going to have a feast, and we're going to worship the Lord. All the other times he says, let my people go, he says that we may go serve Him in the wilderness. And so you'll see when Pharaoh almost relents, I can't remember if it's Exodus 7, Exodus 8, I think it might be 8, that he says, you can go worship, but don't go far. 3 days' journey is quite a distance, particularly with this mass of people. But it's what God wanted Moses to tell him. And the king of Egypt, verse 4, says, wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their work get you under their burdens? I mean, Pharaoh treats it like, are you asking for vacation days? Oh, you guys are so caught up on your work. Oh, yeah, you can take 3 days off. I guess that means 3 days back. Oh, yeah, you guys got that much idle time where you can be, you know, PTO? Ain't no such thing yet. I'm the dictator Pharaoh. And he says in verse 5, and Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmaster of the people and their officers. And see, I think I can prove this. I believe their officers were Jews. It says, and Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay them upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. There was a criticism until archaeology that said, oh, nobody built bricks with straw. Lo and behold, guess what they found? This is super cool too. They found bricks with straw, and it was very methodically cut. They found bricks with straw, which seems to be that the Egyptians would have provided them with cut straw to put in the bricks as they were making them. They have found bricks then that had roots and just scattered, just like they were clawing, which sounds like when the Israelites would have to go find their own straw as they stopped that. And then guess what they found as well? Third bricks, the same bricks. Guess what they found? Bricks with no straw. The Jews, I think, got smart. And they said, I don't know how they stacked the bricks and how they kilned them in the sun or whatever they did. But they're like, I have to get that quota. Are they going to look at the inside of the bricks, you know, of the stack? I don't know. But they have found numerous bricks. They find them with the cut straw, which would indicate that was when they were providing them straw. The scraggly just roots and all kinds of stuff. And then bricks with no straw. It is, let God be true and every man a liar. If somebody says we've never found evidence for that, you know what you should say? Yet. The Bible's always right. We just need to know the Bible, and it's super exciting. So if this were Sunday school, and so I'll get a lot of your responses afterwards, so I'm only going to name a few. Why would God allow this? It would seem to be really bad timing, wouldn't it? Haven't we suffered enough? 400 years of bondage. We get some good news, and that good news is squashed in one afternoon. We're going to get out of here. And all of a sudden, the task gets harder. It is, Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 gives us the best Bible answer. Look at that. That's the verse I told you about. Moses comes back. Remember, Moses said, Lord, what in the world are you doing? Steve Hall paraphrase. Chapter 6, verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, now I've got them just where I want them. I'm glad you do, you know, because I'm miserable. He says, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. God said this, I'm setting Pharaoh up to where you are going to get out of here. Chapter 6, verse 1 is probably the best explanation of what God was doing. But I also wonder about this. Look back at Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. Chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time, Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. There is nothing that would indicate that the Israelites were happy. But God, I think, was also making sure they understood this, because look, if you will, at verse 21 of chapter 5. They responded to Moses and said to him in verse 21, the Lord look upon you. This is how they responded to Moses. The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor, our taste, to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. They had gotten so used to bondage that they actually thought Pharaoh cared. And they then said, you've caused Pharaoh to be this way. No, the reality is, that's who Pharaoh is. And you guys have forgotten who he is. And I think by God's grace and his goodness, he was letting them see exactly who Pharaoh was, so that when they leave and things get difficult, and they do, many of you know the story, things get difficult, that it'll keep them from wanting to go back. Though you'll see a host of them several times said, oh, that we were back in Egypt. You're bringing us out here to kill us, Moses. We're back in Egypt with the leeks and the onions, and it was rough, but better there than dead. I think the Lord was just being gracious. It's this too. The Israelites needed refining. Pharaoh didn't know who the Lord was. And you know what I wonder? Did most of Israel know who the Lord was? You know this. Some of you that have struggled with long-term physical difficulties, it's hard to have the joy of the Lord. I know you do, but it's hard, isn't it hard? You have physical struggles week after week, day after day, year after year, and it never goes away. You know, here they had slavery, decade after decade, century after century after century. After century, I don't think the Jews knew who God was. I believe there were believers, without a doubt. But when you see their rebellion, do you not? God kept everybody 20 and older from going into the promised land. It wasn't because he was being a meanie. It's because they weren't the people that he wanted to establish a nation with in the promised land. Because you know what I think? They didn't know him. Not only did God do these miracles, did God do all this, he did it for the people of Israel, so that they might be in awe of the God of Israel. That they might, when on those days of doubt, that you would remember, oh, what a great God. Oh, what mighty works he does. You should write them down, and you should be able to rehearse them, and you should be able to think on them, and you should think on those things. It's so fun. You know what I love about new believers? So, we had a Bible study, me, Don, and Chris. Chris sits back there. It was good. And Chris, I don't know if Chris, I think Chris struggles a little bit with the fretting. I don't think he'd mind me saying that, right? And he's just like, how can I overcome this? And I took him to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. And, we get all bent out of shape. I don't know what that means. I said, what does it mean to be careful for everything? I walk him through the scriptures. Be careful for nothing, but by everything through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall be in your hearts and your minds and your souls. I don't know. And then it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, think on these things. And I said, Chris, I said, when you worry, I said, you're thinking on the things that you're worrying about, right? Yeah, yeah. You know, God says, come to me. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. You remember, be careful for nothing means if you're careful for everything. Careful! 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 You're always worried. I might trip. You're careful. No, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. But by everything in prayer and supplication, make your request be made known unto God. Go to God. And he says, go to God, and he'll give you peace. But then, it's just so good instruction. Then you better change this. You follow me? You can go to God over your worries, and you're like, they're still there. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I'm going to tell you something I've told somebody, and so it might be dumb. You guys can just erase it, rewind. And we can be so spiritual that we're useless sometimes, I think. So I told somebody recently, and they sparked to it, and I've not told too many people this because I think, well, maybe it's stupid, right? You don't tell people this. And so I was covering them with Philippians 4:8, and I said, you know, what would be the best thing to think on? Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, His work and His goodness, right? I'm not always that spiritual. And so I told him. I said, okay. I've been enjoying golf a little bit, you know, so. And I'm just telling you, what would be better, thinking on something evil or hitting a drive right in the center of the fairway? Hitting a drive right in the center of the fairway. I never do that, but at least in my imagination, I do, right? I told this person, I said, hey, you know what? What do you like thinking on that's not bad? He told me. And I said, think on that. I said, when those evil things pop into your mind, or those things that you worry pop into your mind, I said, Scripture would be best. Focused on Jesus would be best, but I've been there. Sometimes I don't know. I'm driving in the middle of the fairway. Here's what I told him. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, good, and lovely, think on these things. If you think on the things you're worrying about, guess what you're going to do? You're going to worry. If you're thinking on the things that are evil, you know what you're going to act on? Evil. And so I'm just telling you this. You may not like it. I think we ought to think on Scripture and Christ, but I'll tell you this. It's better to think on driving a ball in the middle of the fairway than thinking on some things. Amen? And so I'm just telling you, think on good things. Think on lovely things. Think on pure things. You know, I told Don this. Don's a bird watcher. I make fun of him. And it's okay. It's okay if you're a bird watcher. I'm not. I'm glad God made the birds. I said, think on the birds. And I'll just go, that's for the birds. And so it's, you know, I'm telling you this because that would be good. That's God created the birds. You know why animals are beautiful? God made them that way. I saw a groundhog cross the road the other day, and I thought, man, is that a handsome guy. I wanted to run him over because they have been destroying our yard, right? Didn't get him. But I thought, wow, what a handsome coat that is. And before the fall, groundhogs, wonderful. Sin really affected them. But so I don't think on groundhogs. But I'm just telling you this. You want to think on the good things? If the Israelites thought about their bondage every single day, I hate this, 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 I hate this. You think they're going to be a happy people to be around? They're not. The Bible says, let's think on the things that are godly, that are wholesome, that are lovely, that are pure, and it'll help you. You understand? I don't think they knew God. You know why? Because they hadn't been thinking about God. You won't like God if you think He's ruining your life. The Israelites thought God ruined their life. Who ruins our lives? We do. God can only be good. Think on those things. God was doing this for their good. And you must understand this, Romans 8:28. It didn't say it wouldn't be painful. All things work together for good to those that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And it doesn't give a time frame. It's going to work out. Because I know this, God's not a liar. I love having conversations. I'll tell people this. Well, if that's not true, then God's a liar. Either it's true or God's a liar, which you think it is. Nobody's ever said that God's a liar. I'm going to meet some Yahoo one day that says that He's a liar. But I tell people this. If your life didn't change, then either God's a liar or you're not saved. God's the one that changes. And maybe you haven't noticed it, but God does the great work. Pharaoh's response, it was rough. Now let's just walk through this. Pharaoh implements the plan. Look at verses 10 through 13. They do it. The taskmasters, look at verse, they just do the plan. So I'm not going to go into that in great detail. Now the officers of Israel, I do want to talk about the officers of Israel. Let's look at this, verse 14. So the officers of the children of Israel, and you're going to see how Pharaoh addresses them. I believe they were Jews. The officers of the children of Israel, when Pharaoh's taskmasters had, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before? I want you to know this, they were beaten. You want to serve the Lord? You want to do it? Then don't be surprised if there's not a price to pay. It's okay. God will be with you. God will help you. Things won't bother you that you thought would bother you. Don't worry about what you don't control. Don't worry about what you don't know about. I will tell you this. I'm old enough, and I know there's going to be things that are just going to, whoa, the rug will be pulled out from under me, and I need you to love me, and I need you to help me. But I believe what I'm preaching. God will enable me to handle it when it happens. I don't need that kind of grace right now, but He'll give me the grace I need when I'm being beaten. Didn't we see that with Sosthenes on Sunday night? He was beaten. And you know what I love about that man? I do believe it's the same guy. He didn't quit. So many I used to be's, I was, they weren't beaten. You know how many people give up on God's ways for something that's dumb? Here's what I tell people all the time. If you don't like me and you say, I can't stand going to Hope Baptist Church because that old preacher, he's a loser. Don't let me derail you with God's ways. His ways are that we would be part of a church and we would serve Him and we would humble ourselves and He would be our focus and our love and our joy and our satisfaction. You don't have to be at Hope Baptist Church, but I want to tell you this. You want to be used of God, you need to do it His way. Do not let a guy like me derail you. Do not let, I'm telling you, I didn't wake up this morning to irritate you. Come to me, and I'm really good at apologizing. I've been married for 37 years. I mean, I got it down, and sincerely. I mean, you can't imagine. I mean, the only thing I don't do well is I don't cry. My wife, I don't know why it is. Is she in here tonight? Oh, how beautiful. She has me watch videos just to see if I'll cry. She's had me watch all these Charlie Kirk things with his wife, and I cried. She was happy. I looked at her, and I said, how come you like to see me cry? I think she was kidding, but she said this, hopefully. She said, just to confirm you're human. And here's the key. Honor God. Don't let people derail you, okay? Don't let me derail you. And let's know what God wants. They were beaten. And then this is an indication, bummer, who do they turn to? They turn to Pharaoh. Look at verse 15. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, what in the world? Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. That's pretty bold before Pharaoh. It's your people that are blowing it. Pharaoh said, you are idle, you are idle. is that Pharaoh's verily, verily? You are idle, you are idle. Therefore you say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall you deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, that they could see evils against us. After it was said, you shall not diminish or lower or lessen aught from your bricks of your daily task. You see, the officers, they were beaten, they turned to Pharaoh, and then what'd they do? They blame Moses and Aaron. Look at verse 20 and 21. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, and to put a sword in their hand to slay us. This is the amazing thing. And I've got to be careful of this. We all have to be careful of this. This is Matthew 7, is it not? They're worried about the splinter, the mote, in somebody else's eye. And they got a beam in their own, and they're ready to tell Moses, oh yeah, let God judge you. You know what, you loser? You know what, Moses? Would you wake up one day and think you're just going to do this? Look what you've caused! You know the best thing to do is they would turn to the Lord. Second best thing to do is to really say, Lord, search me and try me and know my heart to see if there be any wicked way in me. You see, We must look to God and then understand this. It may not be sin. So when trouble happens, this is what I would encourage you to do. First, turn to God. That's what Moses did. We're going to see him. Moses did one thing right. He didn't hit a home run. I think he got a single. He turned to God. Second, examine yourself. And then third, if there is no sin, you trust that God's got a better plan than you could ever imagine. I tell people this all the time. I haven't said it in a while. God doesn't spank you where you won't know what you're being spanked for. Okay? Most of what we deal with are consequences. That's not God spanking you. I never wondered. Now, I was spanked a ton when I grew up, right? I mean, it was just like, they should have built a machine. And my mom says, you weren't spanked that much. I said, you wore out belts on me. Not because you were wearing them. They broke in half. And my dad never had worn them. He wore them out on me. I'm not kidding. They didn't abuse me. And you guys, sounds like it. No. I needed it more. You guys were like, you did. And it was, where was I going with this? I had a thought. Oh, good grief. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's going to happen. You guys are going to have to be on it better, because you guys will be like, when you have to do it 10 times in a sermon, I need to hang up my shoes. Okay, so that's just one. And so I always knew why I was getting spanked. He wouldn't let me forget. And he reminded me, you're going to know why you're spanked. Okay? I want you to know this. So if you've examined yourself and asked the Lord, Lord, if there be some sin in my life, please reveal that. That's John chapter 3. It says that Christians want to have their lives manifest so we can make things right with God. That's what Christians are. The world, they're like roaches, man. The lights come on, they scatter. The world doesn't want their sin revealed. But oh, Christian, if you're a Christian, you want to know where you're wrong so you can make it right with God. And so I want you to rest in this. If you know to the best of your ability, and I know this, none of us can say, I'm right with God. But I'm talking you're striving to humble yourself and to honor Him, and you don't know why this would happen. It just may very well be He's refining you. He has a greater purpose. And so we need to trust in Him and not fall apart. You follow me? It's good. And if it is sin, then what you need to do is repent and make it right. Moses turned to God. But he forgot God's promise. He did an excellent job. He did well. Look at verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord. That's exactly what he should have done. And I really don't have a problem with Moses pouring out his heart to God. Be respectful. Be kind. Don't be disrespectful to God. And I know Moses and God, they had this relationship, communication, and God didn't get mad. Look at Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. He didn't get mad, but look at Moses. Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? He knew it came from God. No evil comes from God, but he knew the evil had been permitted by God. You understand that? He said, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Bonk! That's the mistake. We start hearing me and I. Ain't about you, Moses. Why have you sent me? I look bad. Who cares about me? Why have you sent me? For since I. Okay. Just listen to yourself. Me, I. Probably not good. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Turn back to Exodus chapter 3. And see, we've got to ask the Lord to help me remember. Help me remember your word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Exodus chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. And I know, we are so blessed. Guys, do you know how blessed we are by having a Bible, having the word of God, so that we can turn to it? I love you guys, right? You're going like, Pastor, wrong again. I'll be like, what? And I'm like, oh, wow, I was. All right, and I always try to, I should remember this. But anyway, chapter 3, verse 19. God says this. and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Huh, forgot about that. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. It is expectations. Timing. We must trust in the Lord. I will tell you this. You keep planting. You keep watering. You keep witnessing. You keep exalting Christ. And in due season, we will reap where we faint not. It is not in vain. It is all worth it. And our God is a God of promises. Can we trust Him? Oh, yes, we can. Is His timing different than usually that we want? Oh, yes, it is. I want us to understand this. If God begins to use us and we humble ourselves and we submit to the Lord, you know what I think is going to happen? Some trouble. The straw might be taken away. And that's exactly what God wants if that's what happens. Can we, by God's grace, love one another, love Him, weather the storm while we're still preaching and teaching and loving people, knowing this, God's not trifling with us. God's not messing with us. God has a plan. And He's going to do great and mighty things. There's two ways to respond. Generally speaking, most of Israel didn't respond well, ever. If you want to say 2/12 or 1/6 of Israel responded well, Joshua and Caleb, and maybe that was kind of, you know, 1/6 would be what? 16% responded well. 84% did. I'm making those things up, right? I mean, that's what 2/12 is, 1/6. Let's help each other. Met a lady tonight. Now I'll finish. I have no idea how long it's been since she's gone to church or been with God's people. She told me she was saved when she was 16. There didn't seem to be any recollection from her that she'd just been with God's people. That's rough, isn't it? Let's be thankful. Remember what God said in Philippians 4:6? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. When we go to God in distress, let's be thankful. Distress is real. I'm not saying it's not. This was a rough situation for Israel, was it not? I'm not discounting that. It wasn't happy day, right? But it was God's plan. And if we can endure, He will bless. Let's pray. Father, I need you.